Town of Moreau, Planning Board Meeting, Monday, January 22nd, 2024, 7 p.m.
First meeting in 3 months. It's been, I believe, 3 months. It's been really quiet, so we all had to like get to say hi to each other first. So we will open up tonight's Planning Board Meeting for Town of Moreau, 7:02 time, January 22nd. First order of business, I'm going to take care of a couple of things just to try and make sure that I don't forget things. So first order of business, we have some new members to our board. Brad, I'm going to throw you a call. Last name.
Brad N.
I'm going to throw you in as this too. I'd like new members, if you would, to just introduce yourselves to the rest of the board. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
Brad Latuel, not to be confused with Brad Nelson down there. Very similar names.
Okay. And you are?
Matthew Abrams.
And on the end, Brad Nelson. Nelson. We already got you. Okay. That's done. Good. That's item number one. We also have an alternate. Kevin Ellis. So he's not. Just so that's in the minutes. If I'm not incorrect, I'm getting information as we go here. So, for the new members and the old, we have a voucher for every meeting. As you're filling that out, it has been brought to my attention by Mike that there is a new per diem rate for board members, starting as of, I believe, January 1st, you said?
Correct.
Okay, and that is $100 for board members and $124 for chairman. So if you want to do that when you're filling it out so we don't have discrepancies. With that in mind, next item of business, before I forget, because I am forgetful, we have a meeting next month that is scheduled for February something, but it turns out it's President's Day. So we're going to need to reschedule that. So if somebody would like to make a motion for rescheduling that meeting, I would appreciate it. Normal meeting date would be the 19th because we meet the third Monday of every month. Being that that's President's Day, do I have a motion for changing it to a different date?
We want to go with February 20th.
That's a Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday.
Can we do it on a Tuesday? Is the 26th too long?
No.
It's not.
But we could also go shorter because I don't think any.
Well, I'm looking at the March meeting. Is the time between. If we go to the 26th, if we go to the March meeting, that's going to only give us to the 18th, so that's only going to be a couple weeks.
So the question is, are we likely to come out with anything from tonight's meeting that needs timely notification?
Public hearing? I have no idea. I would be more inclined to go to the 20th. I think we need another whole week would be.
We can do the 20th. The room's not available. The 20th would be a board meeting, town board meeting.
No, it's not.
The second and fourth
yeah.
Tuesdays.
So yeah, between.
And that's the third Tuesday is the 20th.
Right. It's
so typically the
okay,
board is
right.
The history of the board has always been the fourth Monday in February.
If we do it the 20th, John, that would give us 4 weeks till the next.
Right.
That will keep everything in line.
We've never done that before, Mike.
Okay.
Want to make a motion?
No.
I'll make a motion. Let's have a meeting on the 20th.
I'll second it.
The only thing that might be an issue with that is if Jim can make it, but he didn't make it to this one because we changed it a week later. So if we did that, it might also be the case. So we have a motion, a second. Any discussion on that change? Hearing none. Not too controversial. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And no nays. It sounds like it passed. So our meeting for February will be February 20th. It's my wife's birthday. I'm going to you explain that to her.
I didn't tell me that. He had made a motion.
You missed what Brad said, right? So you could brought that up in discussion. Period.
Hey, Brad, you're doing all right, bud.
We
With that in mind, I guess we'll have to do that. All right.
So at 5 o'clock? You get it over and get you home by 7.
You're killing me. Okay. So moving along, I think that takes care of most of our bookkeeping that I wanted to do. So then
I have one question.
I haven't gotten that part yet. Is there anything from the board before I open it up for our first agenda item?
I'm going to the planning development meeting in Saratoga in February.
I did need to mention that. Is everybody registered for the planning conference in Saratoga on January 31st?
Yes.
Okay. If not, if somebody can't make it, there's one for the New York Planning Federation on April 6th through the 7th, I believe, Saratoga Hilton. So that one's also local. I may actually attend that one also because the town doesn't have to reimburse me for the regular one in Saratoga anyway, so I may decide to go to that one and see if they have interesting programs. For those of you that have never been to the planning conference, it's a lot of information, and it's pretty good food, usually.
Food is good.
Hope to see you all there.
And it adds to your training.
John, where's the alternate, the other meeting you're talking about? Where and when?
The other one, I believe, is April. Well, it's in my email. I believe it's April 6th to the 7th, and it's at the Saratoga Hilton in Saratoga, and that's the New York Planning Federation's one. Just give me one second. I can find it here.
I can look it up. That's enough.
It is. No, I was wrong. It's the 7th through the 9th, April 7th through the 9th, 2024, Saratoga Hilton. Full slate of excellent training at the same prices as last year, and that's nypf.org.
Okay, look it up.
Okay. All right, so that takes care of all my book work. Mike, did you have something?
Yeah, I did. Did the final drawings get signed for the Bentonville?
No.
Right away. They did not.
No, they did not.
Okay, then under discussion a little bit, I read in there that somehow the town is going to be responsible for taking care of that a little bit, the easement. Maybe it was the way I read it, but I'm not sure that's the way we approved it. Okay. Can I ask the audience a question? Chris, you're not following that, right?
Following.
The easement into Hoffman's Car Wash?
No.
You're not?
Yeah, no, it's private.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
If I remember correctly from the meeting, they had talked about possibly turning that road over to the town.
Correct.
Eventually.
Correct.
Okay, so you're saying that the easement wording reflects that already?
The way I read it, when I spoke with Jim, and Jim says it's okay, I just think that before whoever signs it should read the easement.
It's not supposed to be a public road.
Pardon me?
It's not supposed to be a public road. But you think
that's correct. That's correct. There's just some language in there that I think relates it to maybe the town's going to be responsible for taking care of it. That's the way I'm reading it.
Yeah.
And so I said that I'm not going to sign it. So whoever's going to sign it should maybe take and read that easement a little bit better.
Is there a way of getting a copy of that, John? So the board members can
I think the easement was actually put out in an email,
I don't recall seeing it.
I don't recall the easement coming
Somewhere as I saw it.
You should be able to have access to it right from the office. So even if you just email Katrina and ask to have a copy of it. That's not a secret document of any kind.
No,
everybody has access to it, so you should be able to ask for that.
And I'm glad Chris is here tonight because what I'm saying is all of a sudden, Chris, they're going to say, hey, Chris, you got to get down and do this. And Chris is going to be like, hey, I don't know anything about this.
What?
So maybe I'm reading it wrong, and Jim says it's okay. And maybe even Chris could take a look at it.
Oh, I will.
I'm sure he will.
I'm sure it's not built to town road standards.
And
why would we do that?
Well, I think
we go in there and plow that to maintain it.
Exactly.
Well, I think the way it was worded is that they were planning to use that for access to the other site, so eventually it would be turned over to the town. I don't know that it was ever planned to be from right from the beginning.
Right.
But it would have to be part of the easement agreement then that the three of them are responsible for.
Right, but it's in there right now that they're not going to take responsibility for maintaining it. And again, this is the way I'm interpreting it, is that we're kind of like on the limb for it. And I don't want him to get a phone call and say he's got to go down and do this and kind of blindside him. So what I'm asking is that for the other board members to take a look at it before you sign it.
So the holdup on signing it
nope.
was not, no, just so you understand, was not the easement. There was another item outstanding.
Okay.
One concern I would have is I'm not so sure that can be a private driveway. It depends on what DOT has done with that light. Because I can't imagine the state DOT put a traffic signal light on a driveway. I could be wrong, but...
Oh, I agree.
So, anyways, there's been other issues. That's why it hasn't been signed.
Okay.
I've been talking with Jim and Katrina about it for a couple months, and because there's a desire to get it done, and there's outstanding items.
And there's stuff I'm not aware of.
Yeah, there's other outstanding items also.
Okay.
Okay? So...
Yeah, the other concern that we had at the time was that there was that guardrail being put up.
Correct.
It was supposed to protect traffic or the building that had been given a variance from a setback.
That is one of the
items. One of the concerns we had is if it became a public road, you'd basically be inheriting, a nightmare with this guardrail situation. So the idea, it would be revisited, and perhaps the building would have to be taken down and comply with setback.
That was part of the discussion.
So the build, when we did the original view of that, the building was going to be moved when we did the Hoffman one.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. It's not hard to move. It's just a display building, okay? Then it went to the zoning board and got a variance to be too close to the road as long as there was a guardrail. The guardrail is one of the items that's outstanding at the moment because we're waiting for engineer's view on whether that guardrail is adequate to do what it's supposed to be doing.
It did not reflect state DOT.
No. And you would think, having gotten the variance, that they would go the cost of state DOT. It's not that much more expensive to protect that. But
they had specifications to follow.
Yeah, so that's one of the holdups is that guardrail. All right. I can check on, I'll make a note on that as far as the...
And again, that's my interpretation of it. So, and Jim said that Carla has approved it the way it's read. So, now that goes.
Well, but it might be something that's approved, assuming that it's a public road.
Yeah. I know eventually it's going to be, they want to make it a town road, but as of right now,
They left the easement or the right of way big enough to be a town road.
Correct.
They're not doing
correct.
A town road.
But I think it says in there that it kind of beats around the bush and says that we're going to be responsible for maintaining it, like if it hits a pothole in it or something like that. And I don't want him to get a phone call and say, well, why is the planning board approving this? Because we really don't have that authority without him saying, yes, correct.
Correct. So why was the highway department never brought into this?
Because it's
not a highway at the moment.
Because it's not a town road, and that's what I'm saying.
But we don't know what's in the ground. I don't know what's in the ground.
That's what I'm saying. It's not... a town road, and that's what I'm saying. I want to make sure that easement is read correctly, because it hasn't been brought to you.
Right.
That's why when I saw it, there was going to be a sign, and I'm saying, I'm not going to. And plus the guardrail and stuff. So.
Well, I have to say,
and I wanted the rest of the board to be aware of it.
It only makes common sense that we wouldn't be responsible for it until it's a town road.
Correct.
And it's not a town road until it's built to town specs.
Right.
It's a town road.
And his approval.
Right. So even if the easement says the town will maintain it as a town road, it's still, even if we approve that, until you sign off that it's a town road, it's not a town road.
Yeah, he's not going to send anybody down there.
Right.
I don't want to speak for him, but...
Yeah, you're correct.
So, all right, I will look into that one, too. All right.
Again, Jim said it was okay, but I'm waiting for a third word.
Okay. All right. So with that, moving on to our new business for this evening, we have a project name of Interstate Northeast Towing, applicant name of Dan Rubin. Do we have one of those?
Yeah.
Would you like to come forward and present your application?
Good evening, folks. I'm Scott Green. I'm the general manager for Interstate Northeast.
And I'm Brian Rubin, vocation manager for Southwest Wells.
Thank you. You already saved me the trouble of having to ask your name so that the recording knows who's who. So tell us what you got.
Essentially, we inquired and submitted some paperwork back at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020. When we were purchasing the property to make sure that it fit within the town's guidelines to be able to put a towing company in that property. We filled out all the paperwork, then unfortunately when COVID hit, everything got shut down and it was all new territories for everybody, and unfortunately everything slipped through the cracks in the sidewalks and everything else. Just brought to our attention that it was not approved. We had to come and fill out all the paperwork, site plan and everything else again for these folks. That's what we've gone and done. I filled out all the paperwork in depth the best that I can to try to explain to everybody how a towing company works, how our company works, what our actions, our plan of actions are for whether it's a wrecked vehicle or it's a burnt vehicle or whatever. I laid out on the site plan everything behind the fenced-in area, where everything is positioned, how everything works there to be able to help everybody else understand it.
Okay, so this is the business that's already running there at the moment.
Yes.
Has everybody on the board been able to see the background information on this and the application? And if so, does anybody have any comments or concerns or questions?
Just a couple of clarifying questions just from the beginning. So what you have there presently was built during the pandemic?
It was the building itself when we purchased it already had the three-bay garage. It already had the blacktop out front. We went and got a fence permit to be able to put the fence up on the north side of the property with a gate on it to it.
Okay, so the thing that happened during the pandemic was now you have this area behind the building that you've already established a fence.
Correct.
And you are presently bringing vehicles in there.
Yes. That way nothing is out in the view of the general public coming by. A lot of our customers, insurance people, even business owners in the area, realistically had no clue that we are a full towing company and actually have wrecked vehicles that do come in and out of the yard there, because you really can't tell from the road what we are.
How many vehicles do you typically have in that yard?
On an average day, I mean, a lot of it depends on the insurance companies. Like if you got in an accident, the insurance company is either the next day having it removed, or it takes up to 5 to 7 days once they get all their paperwork, logistics, everything done, and then the vehicle leaves the property. So on an average, there may be 15, 20 cars there, but they are cycling through. During the winter times or wonderful weather that we have, can it exceed that number? Absolutely, yes, unfortunately.
And what's the general condition of those vehicles? Are they capable of being driven? Are they?
Some. 50-50 on it, to be honest.
So you mentioned 15 to 20 vehicles, but you have in your application 40 spaces.
Correct, because during the wintertime or snowstorms or inclement weather, that is a very good possibility that that number will go up to that, yes.
We do snow removal for all the local police departments and police tows. It's more of a processing area. Cars come in, insurance company comes in, checks them out, and within usually the day, same day it could be, or the next day, we're towing them down to an insurance auction.
Auction
in Albany.
Body shops, Yeah. Wherever that the customers or the insurance company is asking to be done.
And for like unregistered or DWIs and stuff like that, they're usually there the next day to get the car. So, sometimes they want to get it out the next same night. So.
Yeah, but that they come in and move out doesn't necessarily mean that they still don't constitute junk vehicles. And that would be one of my concerns, is whether you should be getting a junkyard license.
Oh, no, we have our own scrapyard.
We have our own scrapyard facility in Amsterdam, as I wrote in the paperwork there. Plus, I also have our main facility down in Schenectady for also handling that end of it. As far as the classification of junk cars, no, junk cars would be, according to like state guidelines and stuff like that, where that vehicle is not going to be fixed or repaired or anything like that, and it's stuck in our possession then, that would be classified as a junk vehicle. Unfortunately, we don't keep them here, up here at this facility at all.
Okay, so the vehicles you are keeping here are capable of being repaired.
Yeah, but I don't really keep any of the vehicles up here. If the customer decides that they don't want the vehicle, they come in, they pay the tow fee, they take the stuff out, they give us the title. Within a day, that vehicle is being removed from that property and taken to other locations of ours. So or as a junkyard, they would stay there indefinitely until all the parts were sold off and stuff like that. No, I'm not a junkyard processing facility in that location. I don't wish to go through the state to be able to handle all of that and the cataloging and all of the fluids and handling all that. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I was looking at the town code. I don't know if the state definitions are junk.
No, it's not even close to junk.
No.
It's more like I said, insurance processes.
I'm reading it through the town codes. It is a junk car. It's kind of what I'm reading it as. Because in the town codes it says it's not a condition for legal use on the highways. You're telling us that there are going to be cars.
There's a few. There's a percentage. Yeah.
Okay. Percentage. Has there been any drainage patterns on the site? Anything? Do you guys have a well or a septic or surrounding?
No. And typically on any of the vehicles that are involved in the wrecks, whatever fluids is going to leak, after that on the roadway.
So that will never happen in your yard?
Chances of that ever happening are slim to none. We do have a procedure and policy in place for it, whether it's the speedy dry bags that are inside the facility, which is close to about 60 of them, along with the, they call it pit containment system. It's a barrel that has absorbent pads and booms into it if that ever did happen.
Now, what are your closest houses?
1667, the three houses to the right, and then
the other guy on the other side.
I think it's 1661 or 1659.
So if there was a fuel fluid leak, they could be significantly impacted by that.
There wouldn't be. Right. Like we said, if there's any really damaged cars that go into the scrapyard in Amsterdam.
Correct. I'm just worried about getting back to the houses around there.
Oh, no, I understand.
The way I look at it, the way the town code reads is, in lightning, it looks like a junkyard. It reads like a junkyard. I don't know the state standards. I don't know what that is. I'm just going off of our town codes. And that's worrisome to me, just from being that close. There's been no water runoff studies or anything like that. What would happen if any fluids were leaked or the destruction of any properties around there?
No.
What are we doing with electric cars?
They don't go to that facility. Electric cars are either going to my facility in Schenectady or out to the lot in Amsterdam, and they get put by themselves outside.
We have put in a dumpster or a concrete corral. We get a roll off and put them in a roll off dumpster.
Basically, I put them in jail, basically. They're all in there and tied up in jail by themselves. You know.
Bad news, huh?
Yeah, they're bad news. Yeah.
The only way to actually put out, like, I've watched a lot of the videos and the training videos and stuff like that, is you have to submerge them in a dumpster of water.
Yeah.
Or find a pond and drag it into a pond and let it sit for 2-3 days and then go retrieve it back out. That's the only way, unfortunately, with the EV world that we're getting jammed on our throats, to be able to handle something like that.
They have blankets also, but they're one-time use in about 25.
All right, so if you go out on a wreck or something, you get an electric vehicle, you don't even bring it back here?
No, right to Amsterdam. Okay.
Hours of operation?
8 to 4.
The office itself is 8 to 4. We are a 24-hour towing company for emergency roadside service, whether it's the sheriff's department, it's the state troopers, it's
South Glens Falls PD,
Glens Falls PD.
All right, so you get called out 2 in the morning, you're going to be active in your yard.
Correct.
It's possible, yes, that the guys will be active. It's possible that they'll be active in the yard, yes.
Okay. About 5 minutes while dropping the car.
Okay. If the car's going to come back to our facility for whatever reason, whether it's a drunk driver or an accident.
Right.
But there have been a lot of occasions where you get involved in an accident. You'd rather just pay the bill and have it dropped at the body shop of your choice, or the mechanic shop of your choice, or your own driveway, which we've done also.
All right, so when you fuel your trucks, don't fuel your trucks at 6 in the morning?
No, usually it's 8, between 8 and
okay.
Usually between 8 and 6.
Okay, so last year was 6. It was 6. And the fuel truck was there fueling your truck at 6.
Well, the fuel truck, we have no...
Well, he delivers the he delivers up to there, but yeah.
Yeah, the fuel truck, the long fuel truck, but yeah, they come and run.
So. All right, so on your drawing here, I didn't see, I don't see where you have your fuel tank on your drawing.
I left that out. Okay.
We're going to have to move that fuel tank.
Okay.
Okay. And we got to put some ballards or something around it.
Okay. Where would you prefer to have that removed to?
Okay. You don't have to remove it.
Right. No, move it. Where would you position it then?
Well, I'd like to get it away from the building only because.
We understand.
2 o'clock in the morning, we all know accidents happen, okay?
Yep.
There's no ballard. I call them ballards, you know. There's cement posts and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right? Yellow posts, yeah.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know, what would work for you guys?
I mean, how far away from the building would you like it, just so we have an idea of where you...
We can
push it back
towards
away from the property a little more, or towards the middle.
Well, what would work for you guys? You guys let me know what would work. We need to get it away from the building in case we have an accident. Chris, do they have assistance on fuel tanks? You're going to a fuel tank at your building.
I do not know.
If you do not know.
I've never seen anything in writing that states a fuel tank has to be X amount of feet from a building.
Yeah,
it is diesel.
It's diesel. So,
if I could just ask a question.
Sure.
Where is the fuel tank at the moment?
It's about 5 to 7 feet away from the building.
No, I mean where?
In the
fenced-in yard area.
Okay.
Along the north side of the building.
Oh, okay. The 8-foot mark is here. All right, so. What size fuel tank are we looking at?
I believe that only holds 750 gallons. 750. Yeah.
Okay. So you have a 750 tank there.
That's 750 or 500?
750.
750.
Okay. Is there any other fuel or oil storage on site?
No. The only thing we have is washer fluid and DDF.
Okay. Heating tank for the house.
There is none. It's natural gas.
Okay. All right. So you're under the 1,000. That's what I'm trying to
get. Yes.
Because if you were over the 1,000, we can settle this very quickly because you need a concrete containment cell for it, and that would make a little bit risky.
I believe that's why they have a 750.
Yeah, I didn't know. They probably have a 750.
Yeah. Correct. But yeah, we're natural gas there.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
We have a 750 and 1,000. They both have to be double wall tanks. And they have to be inspected monthly. Report sent to DEC.
Yeah.
Log Energy handles, it's their tank, they're monitoring their inspections.
They're there at least twice a week to fill it.
Okay, so, Mike, is there, well, I should ask you, first of all, you mentioned something about the fuel being delivered at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm one of these guys, I'm on the road myself, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And you mentioned you have no control over that. That's not
well,
true.
We can put a request in.
You can ask.
Yeah, we can ask.
And I get that at this time of year, right?
The reason I'm saying that is if you move this tank inside your fence, and somebody's got to be around.
It's inside the fence.
They come in and usually open the gate.
So he already has access to that.
Yes, correct. Yes, and we want to get a key to the fire department also, so if there is an emergency, we can get in there.
Not a class.
Yeah.
Have you spoken to the fire chief yet?
We emailed them and we're just waiting for response.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll get you the night class and you can just set up.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yep, they did do that.
Okay,
We'll
give them the key to the building and the lock.
Yeah, the night class, that gives them the key right to the building, they can get in.
Awesome.
That's better than them having.
Bust down again, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a lot cheaper for them.
Yeah, that's why they're
in a lot of them.
So if we can circle that, Mike, to where you were.
Yep.
Is there any reason why the fuel tank can't be on the north side of the opening, the gate into that storage area?
If that would work for these guys, I want to make it convenient too for you guys. Someplace.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you need to get it away from the building because.
Yeah.
I know myself. You get a guy come back in there at 2 o'clock in the morning, snowing like hell. He puts some ballards around it so he doesn't hit the tank, and now he got.
Yep.
So something going on.
Right, well, that's kind of why it's when you go through the gate and you're looking at the buildings to your left, that's why it's over there, plus the power is able to run out to the pump itself. That's why it's in that corner there, out of the way.
Because there's a man gate in front of it. Like,
yeah.
If you put it out more, it's a trap, like more of a travel area.
Yeah.
Where this is, they have to, like, intentionally get over to there to get fuel.
Yes.
But I understand your concern with the building.
Do you think if we put the valves around it, you think it'd be okay with it up by the building?
I think so. I mean, we could even get mafia blocks for it.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you. I could have a waste block.
I can do the mafia blocks, not a problem. Put two of them out of it. Let's. I have the same setup down in our lot in Schenectady. It's mafia blocked around it.
Yeah, and then you know those things, you can't move those.
You're not going to move those.
No, they weigh 3,200 pounds a piece.
And that's what we'll do.
So
why don't we do that?
Okay. Sure.
That work for you guys?
That'll be great.
That'll work for me.
Yep.
Perfect.
We're lacking an environmental assessment form.
Yeah.
Of any kind on this. And
thank you.
You know, looking through the checklist for site plan application, it's like we're
we want to get it because
Jack assumes we have it.
Or not off to a bad start, let's try.
Thanks, Mike.
But the VAF is not here. Yeah, I think that there's certain things that we have to address in terms of traffic, the kinds of vehicles that are going to be here, what kind of risk is going to be posed by vehicles that might have various fluids in them still. I'm not a monolith expert.
So maybe I can mitigate this. Is there a policy or an agency overriding protocol for handling vehicles that are potentially fuel leak or fluid
and anything potentially like that is going to Amsterdam right away. Like if the drivers are thinking there's going to be a fuel leak, they'll be rerouted to Amsterdam because that is a scrapyard in Amsterdam. It's an 8-acre scrapyard. So we have no need to keep any really damaged vehicles here. Okay. Like that we're worried about catching a fire, blowing out, or leaking fluids. It can go right to Amsterdam.
All right. So then, if that's the case, then what you're saying right now is that you never have a vehicle in there that's had a fuel leak or a fluid leak?
Again, if the vehicles are involved in an accident and the fluids are leaking out, 99.9% of that fluid is already leaked out on the roadway where the accident happened.
Okay.
By the time we get there.
I get that.
So then we put the speedy dry down, we clean everything up, we dispose of the product and everything else onto it.
Do you guys suggest getting trades? We can get something under the vehicles if you're concerned about the motors leaking something. We can put a containment thing under the...
I thought that it was possible that in order to use that lot, which at the moment, as far as I can tell, is permeable. Right? It's
half of it's paved and half of it's stone.
That there would be some kind of protocols from an agency, like DEC, as far as the proper way of handling these vehicles, and I just was hoping that you could say yes, that's in place, and we follow their rules, and
I actually have the lady that is the area, that takes care of the area, I forgot her name, but she do have her, I have her business card, and she stops in every once in a while, just on.
So you have... What I'm saying is you have at your facility for your employees a thing that hangs on the wall that's a book that tells them how to handle...
No, they just call us, the management, and we take care of it. I see what you're saying. Yeah, we can work on that.
Do you have a policy procedure manual if you're asking for that? Yes, we can most certainly do that. All of our guys do come down to our Schenectady location. I will put them through training on how to handle anything and everything in those situations with accidents. How to roll vehicles over, how to clean up any kind of fluid and stuff like that, and how to properly handle it. That is handled and trained in all of our guides that we do employ, which is 22 at this point. I've lost track.
But if I'm gathering what you're saying, there is no agency oversight on this particular site, though.
No, DEC doesn't actually...
I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, there is no...
DEC doesn't have anything other than, like, if they did come out to an accident scene, like Brian and I handled one in Galway a couple years ago with a box truck, it leaked every fluid under the sun. DEC came out, and she handled on her own a separate company to do the remediation of the site and everything else. She asked us when we got to where we were going to it to make sure that it wasn't leaking anymore and that the holes were plugged up onto it, which was handled at that point. So
we have... For vehicles, we have things that you actually put into the tank, the wooden dowels, if there is a leak, and stuff like that, just for transport to Hampshire, so we aren't making calls around all over the place.
Does that get there, Ann, or closer to what you were looking for, or no?
No, not really.
Okay.
With all due respect, I mean, having environmental assessment form would be extremely important. I mean, we have to be able to understand what the possible impact is to the land here. And granted, I understand you're telling us that they don't leak, no problem. But over the course of time, leaks accumulate, because they will. And I think we need to assess that as a potential risk for the ground and the groundwater in the area. As others have pointed out, it's a pervious surface. So that's a concern. So yeah, I still have a concern about that, John. And I guess I'd like to understand better the overall operation. So I see lines around the box. Are those parking spots? Is that how you're planning to do it?
That's already what they do, parking spots here. Me and my neighbors can move the truck.
So the open area, you've got a big open area in the center, and that's nothing's happening.
That's travel.
On the diagram, you'll see that's where the guys load and unload, and that's our reception there. That's running
back on the truck here.
So you need that space for the purposes of...
So we don't have to pull in the road or anything. We can pull in and turn around right now.
Everything's behind the fenced-in area, so you're not out in general public's point of view to be able to see everything. It doesn't look like a junkyard. It doesn't look like...
A tow company. I got people coming all the time and things that...
The front of the building looks great. That's not an issue. I mean, the appearance from the front looks great. It's the operation.
Well, you guys can come and check it out, too. I mean, that's
about every day.
Stop in. I'm there from 8 to 4. Any of you guys can stop in.
Do you want to come in later than that?
We'll be coffee.
It's not a problem.
I got a beer right.
Gotta have coffee. Right?
Yes.
Is it safe for me to stop in?
You stop in? Yeah. So, we have clean bathrooms and coffee.
So I have a couple of items that I kind of want to not fall short on. Backup beepers on your trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming for safety purposes you have them.
DOT regulation is why I'm not sorry.
Do they have switches on?
No, you cannot. DOT regulation, you're not allowed to do that.
It's illegal. Anything medium duty or below 28,000?
No, even the light duties. Any tow truck is required by federal government to have that onto it, and you cannot tamper or disable that, period.
You fail DOT inspection.
Okay.
They take your truck out of service for that.
Yes.
That goes into the... Go ahead, man.
So, between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
you guys get a tow, you back into the...
30 seconds worth of a backup beeper is all you're going to hear, maybe.
And then you're dropping, and then you're out of there. It usually takes our guys tops 5 minutes to drop a car and get out of there.
Okay. As far as disturbing the neighbors and stuff like that,
we have letters from the neighbors that we're concerned about their they love us being there.
And have you had any complaints with Garfield Raymond?
Who?
Garfield Raymond.
No, the guy who wants to try to park it back. No, not at all.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, actually, his maintenance guy and Brian have been great for almost four years.
Yeah. I let them plow some snow on our, area. And the people to the right of us, we help them plow and shovel. And we're good neighbors. The people left of us, I jumped out of their car about 20 times.
Got off the transmissions down the road.
Yeah.
All right, you took a guy to take care of.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he sold the house.
Oh, okay.
He sold the house.
Yeah, that's a
new owner. 2-3 years ago, he sold the house.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
But we got one.
So, okay. One other item. I'm assuming that you never have to back off of it then.
No.
The driveways are more than adequate for the guys to pull in and swing around, so you're not impeding traffic. Period.
Well, I know when this was in front of us for the initial plan, this was the culvert guy. We tried to make sure the driveway was enough, but he wasn't trying to back up a flatbed of a car on that. So
no, he was trying to put a 53-foot trailer in there. That's why there was two approaches on the original plans, which we're not doing.
No.
It
wasn't two approaches, it was in out.
It was pretty much the whole front of it was a big drive.
Part of his plan was that the trucks couldn't come from the south. They had to come from the north.
Yes, I think that was it,
So,
how many trucks come in and out every day?
We have 5 trucks that run out of that location, but we have 3 locations.
How many trips do they take? I mean,
trips?
Does a truck
usually they're in the morning, and then they're gone for the day unless we get a police call that's coming back.
So you have 5 in and out?
Yes.
Yes.
What about light net? I call it the field where you put the cars in there.
That was my question. I didn't want to disturb the neighbors with big lights in there, and that was another question we were asking. Like, what would you guys?
Do you plan on lighting it up or no?
We really weren't sure.
Not sure. We're coming. This is a question that, as tonight, we're before you. What would your recommendations be? Because you don't want to irritate. You've got the trailer park behind you. The neighbors to the right.
And our trucks have plenty of lights on them, and we don't need lights. I mean, they have
the work lights on.
I would think if we don't need them, then I would probably go no.
It almost seems like they're waiting for us to tell you you have to have lights there.
Yeah.
Because there are some that do require it.
Okay, so if you do choose to put lights there, we need to see them on the plan.
Sure.
Where the existing lights are now need to be on the plan.
There's one back there on the building. Yep, there.
And also, because what we're trying to do is put a full application together now.
Gotcha.
You got to make sure your site plan is accurate.
Gotcha.
Because it will be enforced based on what's on that site plan we approved. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. If you're going to have lighting on it, we need to know where those lights are.
No,
we also need to be sure that those lights don't spill onto the neighbors.
Correct.
Within a reasonable amount.
Yeah. I mean, at this point.
So if you don't need lights in the back?
No, we don't.
I don't need them.
For security or anything like that, that just makes it easier.
The camera system that we have up there is night vision infrared onto it, and it catches a lot of stuff, which is, you know, the squirrels running through and stuff like that. He is able to catch that and see that. So I mean, that's not an issue on that end. Again, the guys when you're backing in, they've got work lights to turn them on. Drop the vehicle, turn them back off, and then they're back out.
Just to get a little bit of their part, you guys bring total cars there?
If they're in a wreckage.
If they're involved in an accident on the side of the road, yes.
So
for a short period of time.
Because a junkyard is somewhere where you're leaving cars to get parsed out. There for 30 or 40 days or 6 months.
Or 6 months.
Or 2 years. It's not. Junkyards aren't processing center.
Towing company versus junkyard is totally night and day difference. I understand yours end of it onto it. Junkyard is that I'm going to buy your vehicle from you for $400. I'm going to strip it down for parts, sell it, and make money. That is a legal definition of a junkyard. We're not that in that facility or our stack vehicle location.
I think I'm an analyst too. I'm just very concerned about the environmental impact on it. Very concerned because I know you say that nothing's going to leak. And, you know what I mean? You said there was a very slight chance it'll leak. I am worried about down the road in 20 years, 10 years, because the neighbors aren't close. They're supposed to be 100 feet away for a junkyard. It's supposed to be 8 foot wall. I understand that, but my concern is that you can still have some of the same impacts.
You can have the same impact though in your own driveway with your own vehicle, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You can have the same impact in your driveway with your own vehicle that his vehicle being wrecked and involved in an accident is going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have an understanding of it, it's great, but at the same shot, let's say you go and get your oil changed on your vehicle. You go home into your driveway, don't realize that the tech didn't tighten up the oil filter or the drain plug or you got another leak. Now all of a sudden you have a huge mess in your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
You have an environmental issue at that point.
Again, what you're saying, I have two vehicles in my driveway. You're saying you have a potential of 100 of them, right? Roughly?
In the wintertime with the weather that we have, the people that have to drive, wholeheartedly as possible, 100, yes.
I'm just worried about the development behind you. I'm worried about the houses next to you. Are you worried about, are you guys in set wells there? Or are you guys
no, we're
not. It's not water.
It's not water.
Everybody is around you. It's
yes.
Time water. There's no, I know they're running.
There is septic. They're on septic, but everybody has time over there.
I do think a study, some sort of environmental something would.
It
would
at least be Ian's right. We require an EA.
Yeah, that would really
be. That's not as complicated as you.
Okay.
You know, it's just a form the town could set you up for that. I don't know what your setback is on your back lawn from where your 6 foot fenced area is or your used area and where your rear boundary is because I don't have dimensions there.
Gotcha. And I'd have to measure it tomorrow.
So there's some things that I would recommend that you make an appointment with Jim and come in and just, these are all clerical things where they need to be on the site plan. We need those setbacks measured in. We need a scale. There's no actual scale shown on the drawing here. He had some other things in the notes, like we need to have the neighbors identified, that includes across the road, anybody within how many feet it is, 250 feet or whatever.
It's 500.
Is it 500? Okay. We need to have them identified on the map.
Gotcha.
Any place where you're from, we don't have a septic listed here. All right. But bear in mind.
The septic's directly behind the building.
Okay. We just need to know where it is on the site.
Okay.
That's all.
No problem.
Okay. And it's not really a huge issue because you're on public water there, so the people out back, so it's not a matter of setback. We just need to know where it is.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay.
John, maybe Carla could give us an opinion as to whether or not this Article 87 applies to this operation as well. I mean, we can argue about it, but maybe we just need some guidance on that, whether it's from Jim or Carla. It's a different definition than what you guys are using for the state.
I think the primary difference that we're seeing as well with the Junkyard Vice towing company is, for example, with Brad Nelson down there, he could drive his car and there's going to be an oil leak and that can happen 100%. And it's not a if it can happen, it's when it can happen, right? The difference is his car is registered in the state of New York. It's drivable in a safe operating condition, on legally drivable in the state. If you take a junk car that doesn't have a front wheel on it, for example, that's not legally drivable in the state of New York.
But it's usually registered.
It's insured in the state and it just came in, waiting for the insurance company to handle it within a day or two or three.
I would agree 100% with what you guys are saying. The issue is that next part, it's an and statement, not an or statement. Mm-hmm. It has to be and drivable legally within the state.
Well, I can't tell you that the rules go along. You know, just as well as I do, if there's an accident, you know, you don't know what happens. You know?
I agree. What I'm saying is that is what makes it a junkyard vice, a towing company. Is the storage of vehicles that are deemed junk vehicles.
Well, that would be a body shop. Then the body shop would be considered junkyard, right?
And our repair shop would be considered a junkyard then, too.
You're opening up a whole big...
You're opening up, very large, wide area.
Stretch. How body shop?
There's an
auto body shop with more wrecked vehicles on their property.
Sorry, I want to speak.
I'm just going to stop for just a second. In order to have a little bit of order and make it possible for us to do minutes, we got to take turns. Because the person that has to try to do these minutes is to listen to this recording and go, wait, that person said this, but this one's saying this at the same time. It makes it really hard. So if we can do this in some semblance of order, it'd make it very easy.
Go ahead, speak your piece of this.
Okay. There's body shops in town that have more wrecked vehicles on their property out in the open that we do in the back of our yard. So they would be considered in your definition of junk. And you have several body shops in your town that have more wrecked vehicles than we have in our yard.
How long is does the length of time the vehicle stay there distinguish it differently from, in your mind, as junkyard to just a temporary storage?
There is no length in the town code, the town code. Okay. It is simply vehicles that are not registered in your state or abandoned, wrecked, stored, discarded, dismantled, or partly dismantled. Now, I understand what you're saying with the, you're being in an auto body shop and trying to fix it. So the key thing is you're trying to fix it. You guys just clearly stated you take the wrecked vehicle. You're waiting for somebody to pick it up. Somebody doesn't pick it up, could it sit there a year? Could it sit there 6 months? Could it sit there a week?
No. Well, a week, yes.
So
30 days, absolutely tops, but within 2 weeks, we usually move them to our Amsterdam.
I don't have a hard time getting the junkyard aspect of it. I'll leave it at that, because I understand what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, step on your toes here or anything, but at the same time, you're very close to other houses. And for a junkyard that you're saying you guys aren't, which is fine, you're supposed to be within, I think it's 100 feet from somebody's property. And I think you said you're 67 feet from their house.
I'm not sure.
There's supposed to be an 8-foot fence. You guys have a 6-foot fence around the back of it. You have an 8-foot fence.
Well,
around
we
the
got that okay. That was board. Yeah, the planning board.
No, fair enough. And that was not when I was here. But this is just this is the way I'm interpreting the laws.
Whoa. You just said you got.
We're not the planning board. The initial permit. That's the permit.
Fencing permit. Okay, yeah.
That's what I was
going to say.
I'm sorry. Yes. No. This is our first time in front of the planning board. Let me clarify that.
Back in 2000, we were given that permission to do the fence in the area.
And that was from the planning department.
I believe so. Yes.
So,
in my opinion, you guys should be in front of the town board applying for a junkyard permit, not this
No, no, because then
no, because well, for starters, yeah. Before you even answer that, no, because we don't allow junkyards in our commercial zone.
Fair enough.
So there would be no permit for that.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Again, by New York State guidelines, we are not a junkyard by any.
So can you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
All right, or do us a favor, not me.
Sure.
Just acting chair. I don't get the special treatment here. So if you could do us a favor, you're gonna come back to see us.
Okay.
Because we're having so much fun.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you possibly get a copy of those?
Sure.
Things from the state. That might help
us save my office more. You realize it's
good.
Because it's possible that might help us with some clarity as far as the way the definitions go. Can you read what you have out of our code right there? You just read a list of addendums to that as far as what defines a junkyard.
A junk vehicle, this is a junk vehicle.
Yes.
Any motor vehicle, motor home, recreational vehicle, including campers, trailers, pop-up trailers, tent trailers, overnight trailers, used parts, or waste material, or motor from a motor vehicle, which is unlicensed, unregistered, and not in condition for legal use of public highway. Abandoned, wrapped, stored, discarded, dismantled, or partly dismantled. The fact that such motor vehicle is not in the condition to be removed under its own power shall be presumed evidence that such motor vehicle is a junk vehicle, unless ratified by a verifiable and credible proof.
What was that last part?
Unless ratified and verified by a credible proof. I think it's section 87-2 under junk vehicle.
Okay.
Okay, so?
And that's the one that you wanted clarification from Carla?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Board Jim.
Well, you're making a request. I want to make sure I know what I'm doing when I ask for that.
Well, I think it should be the board's request. It just, okay. We obviously have a legal question.
Right. And then, well, we don't have to have a board's request. I can make the request. I'm just asking because I need to be clear when I ask Carl. I can't just ask her to do a general thing. So
that regulation that he's standing right there, that opens a lot of cans.
It does.
Every time.
All right. So to your credit, just hang on. It's a process. We're working our way through it.
Sure.
We can keep our code enforcement officer busy in this town for the next probably 2 years. With the number of spots in the town that qualify for this right at the moment that have been continuous for a period of time. Some of them I would agree probably have, you know, a point on. I agree with you that would also cover body shops.
Body shops, auto repair shops, used car dealers, new car dealers.
Well, no, not used car. No, okay,
they're trading up. You trade
to be clear, used car dealers have vehicles that are drivable. Or they're not a used car dealer, they're a junkyard.
They.
Okay?
We have towed in, I know for a fact.
Hey, we're here for this project, not everybody else.
Well, I'm just saying.
If your vehicle is junk in your driveway, you trade it in to Mike, and he's going to give you $500 towards a new car.
Right.
That vehicle of yours does not run and drive, has issues. He takes it in as being a used car dealer for a trade. Now, that is a junkyard by your regulations because it doesn't run on its own.
I believe somewhere here it says for profit.
I'm going to give him 100.
I believe it has to speak for profit. I think you guys
he gave him $500 towards buying another
for profit business.
So anyways, we're going to have Carla take a look at it and make sure that we've got this figured out. We have actually dealt with this with other sites in town. Okay, that's when you've been on, at least I know.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll look into it and see.
Okay.
I think we understand what you're saying. Okay? And I hope you understand why we're trying to work our way through. Because we don't get to just choose what we don't do and don't like. So if it's in our code, we have to follow.
Right. But that code that classifies us as a junkyard.
If it does, we're going to ask our counsel to take a look at it and see what she thinks. We'll ask Jim, our administrator, to also see what he thinks, because that's who makes those determinations.
Okay.
All right. If they do, then you can appeal that, obviously.
Sure.
I think you probably have a good argument, but you can. Anything else, Board, on other areas with this? I have an EAF and an Article 87-2 determination. Is there any other questions for the member? Anything else we need to put together in a site plan that we can then work with?
Well, this, I guess we got maybe half the site plan.
Pardon me?
I don't know if we got
half the plan. Yes, we're going to update it.
That is
we asked
as our actual site itself.
Yeah, it's like my copy's cut in half.
Oh.
Okay. It looks like it should have continued.
Well, because it got shrunk down by the printers just for the actual property itself.
Yeah. It's an actual big, huge.
Okay. Yeah, and as I think John, you pointed out, we need to meet with Jim and make sure that the site plan, John's not a site plan.
I don't, I gave it back to your brother.
Yeah, I think Ann's right. I think you actually have a legend and you have a scale.
Yeah.
It's just cut off.
Just cut off.
If you got the printer, move the margins over.
Yeah.
I probably have already. But yeah, I agree. You should probably get together. You definitely should get together with Jim and make sure you get that all put together.
So do we have a list for them that they need to put on?
I'm working on it now.
You're the best, Jan.
I'm not the best. I'm just clerical.
I have one other question regarding the back fencing area. It has the pavement and then the rock or grass type.
Crush.
Of
yeah, we have crush. Crush. Crush.
What is? Are there any requirements for like putting vehicles in there that may leak? So because of the fact it can build up over time. Is there anything that says like you have to have something underneath it, like kind of Matthew has referencing or anything like that, that you guys know of from the DEC?
No.
Okay, that might be it.
So if I can add to that, I think it would be helpful to have a standard operating procedure from you guys telling us how you operate the business when a vehicle comes in that may have hazardous material and how you guys approach that. That might help shed some.
Some of that is already in the letter that you guys already have. That I wrote up to you.
And the letter's great. I think a standard operating procedure on your letterhead telling us how you guys process that would may help, and that might be part of your EAS form, just the elaborating on your standard operating procedures, because if it's standard, that means your employees are trained, and they know how to handle those vehicles.
Okay, sure.
Or they don't even come into that property at all, right? They go
yes.
to manager.
Yes.
So
yes.
that may help with some clarity.
Okay.
Another thing is you keep mentioning some paved, some gravel on the back. Your site plan does not show that.
Does
okay.
Show
I did, by the way, find the rear setback.
I put it as grass, but
we need to know where that line
where
is.
Where exactly it is? Okay.
Because that will complicate the cleaning. That's obviously.
He's writing it all down.
Oh,
okay. He's been busy writing a lot of stuff down.
What's the chances of getting man-made towards the back somewhere?
Actually, we were talking about for plowing reasons, having two of the panels open like this,
yeah.
so we can plow straight through.
Yeah.
We just haven't gotten to it yet, but
okay.
if you suggest that, then that's easy enough.
Okay, can you show that on the plan?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. That, and just in case evacuation or something, you know,
yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
like
have two exits. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, I think even if you talk to Pete, he probably would recommend that.
The chief?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys have any security issues?
No.
Just squirrels.
We have a lot of cameras around, and we haven't really had any issues.
Yeah.
Really haven't. I don't know if everybody knows we have the cameras, or they just doing pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they're hidden, so you know it's not like you look up and go, oh, there's a red light flash back.
And then you're sitting there not taking parts off.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Your customers will be a little upset.
Somebody will be looking for something.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Now, how about your dumpster out front? Is there a way we can hide that dumpster?
I can wheel it in the back. It was getting heavy. I did it for a couple weeks.
Oh,
and I forgot garbage. Yeah.
Is there a way maybe you can build a box around the fence? Or
no, I can wheel it in the back. It's on wheels. It's not that heavy. It's
yeah.
Just, I don't have it for getting garbage.
I would have one of your guys do it. I would have been
yeah.
to do it.
Listen, yeah. exercise is good for him, okay?
Is there no take some convenience out of it?
No, it won't. Yes, John, you wanted to say
I just kind of saw it out there a couple times, and I was like, eh.
Yeah, we can go.
I mean, the place looks good, cleaned up out front, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I go by, and I'm sitting up a little bit higher than the normal car every day, and I see a lot more of them back there.
Yeah, yeah.
Your trucks are not all inside all the time. You have trucks outside too.
We have a flatbed that's out maybe 2 days a week.
Yeah.
In the yard, just because it is. It's out in the back. The one white flatbed is out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
he's out
there.
They had flatbed stuff over in the corner there for a while. Was it broke down or?
Yeah, well, no, that runs. That runs. It's just a spare. It's back there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
We have about 26 trucks total with the three locations. So.
Okay.
28.
Now, do you haul in any occasionally we, you know, a lot on the north layer here on the main road or something, we'll get a propane truck or something like that tipped over, or a large camper has been burned, anything like that. Are you pulling in any commercial vehicles in there?
We can, but anything that's all messed up.
A propane truck like that that you're referenced to, if you're the owner of the company, it's going back to your facility, your own.
Okay, how about like a dump truck or any large commercial vehicles, large campers?
It's very possible. Yes. That we'll be bringing it in there. It's possible. But all right, at this point, I think we've had one heavy accident in 2 years we've been operating. Two heavy accidents.
That actually came back to the facility. It's just the double header, but everything was gone within 5 days out of the property.
Yeah. Okay, large tractor trailer.
Yes, yeah. Actually, it was a tractor trailer versus a log truck. The tractor trailer didn't belong on the road that he was on, and blew a stop sign in front of a local logging guy and destroyed both of the vehicles. But they were all gone within 5 days off the property.
I guess what I'm looking at is, are we going to see any large, big trucks that are going to be stuck up over the top of your fence?
It's possible for a couple of days, yes, until the insurance company handles it. But the trucking company, insurance companies, they don't want to. They want to get a process, because one, if the tractor trailer that he usually has a load onto it, if you're the trucking company and he's got his load on your truck, he wants his load. You want to be able to satisfy and get the thing taken care of in a timely fashion. That happens.
Okay. And plus, we're charging storage. They don't want to pay the storage.
Okay.
So they try to get it out.
Yeah, that part. I know that's a big money in that stuff.
Yeah. 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 Storage is not cheap for trucks.
Yeah, that's correct. I know that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we won't see that very often.
Not very often.
Okay.
Anything that's huge and mangled and stuff like that, again, if it's huge and mangled and stuff like that, I brought it right down to our Schenectady location. I can take it out to our Amsterdam location. Amsterdam is 7 acres, wide open, fenced in area over there also. Same with the location not in Schenectady that I may have down there. Again, I've got our own trucking company, truck trailers over there on our property down there in Schenectady. So,
okay.
We handle all of that.
This is our pretty property.
Yes.
We'll keep this very. This is
you're the pretty.
Good idea.
This is a pretty property.
This is the prima donnas up here. And it looks better that way. It's easier to keep it that way.
Well,
again, none of the neighbors are having any issues with anything with any of us.
No, I don't think it's an issue. It's that, you know, you got to go through the right channels.
Yeah,
that's
no problem. Yeah, I understand.
I think that's what we're looking for.
Yep, certainly.
Yeah. Now, do you handle the transfer, like if you tow a vehicle, that's all handled out of that office there? Like the person comes in and says, I'd like my car.
Yes, they want their belongings out of it, or plates or stuff, you know, stuff like that. Along those lines, yeah. I'm there between 8 and 4, and I release the belongings and stuff like that. Open the gates for them.
You drive the white pickup?
I do. The Toyota, yeah.
Yep. You got yourself it all done?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, don't mess that up.
Anything else that we want to do? Anything else you'd like to see on this site plan?
I think it'd be helpful down the middle if you guys are truly unloading and loading, you know, on the site plan, how we designate that spot, even if it's just a couple lines and say loading, unloading area, parking, yeah, just like
okay.
A fire lane.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anything to help enhance and tell us the accurate.
Well, it is wrote on the site plan that center section is for loading and unloading.
That would be helpful. Just as a full site plan, you might have to just mark it.
You don't have to paint it on the pavement.
Yeah, show it on the site.
No, is there any plans of painting that inside there?
We haven't talked about that. We haven't discussed it.
I think that might come out of you asked about the paving with the backside.
Yeah.
I would imagine that might come out of the EA for it. Is they might recommend it based on which of those, but that's more of a, I think we wait and hold up and see what they say.
Yeah.
As soon as you get those plots around that tank, I feel much better.
We'll work on last week.
I'll have it done by the end of the week.
Thank you. It's just a problem.
I believe Cranes will go on the street, so we can have them delivered.
Yeah, they got them down there.
Yeah.
Well, our a flatbed over
yeah.
on Rapids.
It's not right over on the island, just across a bridge they got two,
I think. Oh, okay. I got a deal set up with Greenville for like Amsterdam.
Okay.
Plus price yeah. the block and stuff for yeah. all of that. So
yeah.
We can get them there.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I have four items for you guys and one for me. Somehow I got one out of this. we need a finished or a filled out EA, environmental assessment form. Okay. I have my request of showing the gravel and pavement delineation on that storage area, and I'll add into that lines on the plan that show loading and unloading area or location in that lot. Let me just get that one. I also have a gate in the back for access.
Is it going to be back on the side?
Straight back. That's where we were talking. That,
yeah.
Yeah, that's where we were talking, was just straight back. Okay. Almost parallel to the front gate. Okay. Just straight back.
There was a request for in the packet for a standard operating procedure for handling vehicles with fluid leaks.
Correct.
Just a copy of what your protocols are on it. Doesn't have to be an official form, just
yeah,
what
you certainly.
Do. And then I had a request that I have for counsel, whoever that might be, for an Article 87-2 determination on designation of this as a junkyard or not, which would be our town council will take a look at the zoning to see how she reads it. I'll also run that past Jim. But I would, if you're going to get together with Jim and go over this map quick and just make sure everything's on it.
Certainly.
What we're trying to do tonight, so you understand, is we're trying to put together an application and a site plan that we can actually have a hearing on.
Okay.
Okay? We got a good start on it. That's why I've been asking everybody, is there anything else you'd like to see on it? Is there anything else we need?
Certainly.
Okay. Eventually... I don't know, Board. Do you think this... requires a, if this is enough of a change that it requires a public hearing, being in the commercial zone?
You said you got, it's in a commercial zone, right?
It is. Normally we require a public hearing for any changes of use in the public or in the commercial zone.
I would say
this comes back to whatever the attorney comes back with on the definition of junk here.
Yeah, I don't think we need to set the public hearing date. Yeah.
No. I'm not planning on setting a date. I'm asking if we think we need that.
I think we need it.
Okay. What we want to do is we want to make sure we have everything that we need for that before we schedule it.
Okay.
So what my recommendation is, or what my expectation is that we will see you guys back hopefully next month or when, if you decide, you know.
Yeah.
Next month with this stuff together so that we can say, okay, we've got a complete application. We can move forward,
it
we can schedule a public hearing. You should probably expect there to be an empty room, likely. But we go through the process anyways, and it gives us an opportunity. If somebody is here, it's because they have a concern, and if they have a concern, that meeting's a great place for you to facilitate a discussion about it, and usually that rolls out pretty well, too.
Okay. And that is the 20th at 7?
The next meeting will be on my wife's birthday.
Yeah, the 20th. Yeah.
I may order
flowers for her because she's in trouble.
It is very possible that I may not be here. And I don't mean at the meeting, I mean in general. But
you're going to be in the doghouse.
Oh, he's got a cow house. He's got a lot of cows. I don't know.
He's going to be sleeping in the barn.
I hope you're not big.
So if you have that, I will give this list to Jim also.
Okay.
Okay, the items that we've asked for.
Yes.
I would suggest to the board, if you think of anything else, like you're driving halfway home, you go, oh, geez, feel free to email Jim and add that to that list. Just so, because otherwise what happens is we get to the next meeting and there's some items that are outstanding.
And it just continues.
And then we have to bump it again. And yours is not like, hey, we'd like to get it built so we can start using it. Instead, it's you're using it without a site plan. So we kind of really need to get on that. Okay?
Sure. Actually, so two things. I think we talked about the location of the fuel tank.
Yes, but
I think they're
instead of moving it, they're just going to block it with waste blocks. But they're going to show that on the plan.
Yeah,
the septic location.
The septic, any lighting that you have.
Yeah, we're not going to have any lighting.
The lighting that you do have, just so we know. Okay?
So those are things that would come up when we talk to James. Miscellaneous things.
So what happens is, this is for you guys. Believe it or not, I know it sounds torturous and it seems annoying, but this is for you guys. So if somebody in the future, a year from now, some new neighbor comes in and they don't like you, okay, and they complain because you have that light and it's shining and they don't like it, all right, you can say, well, we've got an approval for it. It's right here on our site plan.
Okay, understood. Right?
If it's not on the site plan, then you have to come back in front of us to get it on the site plan. And
gotcha.
So we're trying to set it up so that you can operate as you are approved. Okay.
Not being very
yeah.
Oh, how about your sign out front? Make sure that's on the plan.
It is.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Yep. Make sure that's on. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. We were actually going to get, we pulled a permit for that.
Yeah, right.
But we haven't changed or done anything with that.
Yeah, just make sure it's on there.
Yep.
That's all.
Yep. No problem. Yep.
So we've been badgering you with a lot of questions. Do you have any questions for us?
No. No, I think we thought very well.
Should have asked that first, right?
No, I think we have a pretty good idea. Like I said, this is my first
question. Let me ask you real quick. I have one here. Since I got it upside down in my hand here. So, where I have put center sections for loading and unloading in here, you want me to actually write it out in this section?
Draw a couple lines to show us and write loading, unloading here.
Okay.
Like, you don't have to clean them on the page.
No, but this is why I did it this way.
Yeah,
it was out of the way so everybody could see everything and understood.
And then here you're gonna eliminate two spaces.
Yep. Yeah,
put the gate. Right. Well, just take that one space line up. Put gate.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Proposed gate. Even if you don't put it in, put the proposed gate so when it does go in, you're okay.
Correct.
All right.
Covers everybody.
Yeah.
The way I would draw that in is just do something similar to this, where it's this is the area for driving backing up.
Right.
Gotcha. So that way we know where the parking spots are.
Okay.
And it's not so much for us. It's like,
quick question.
Like, why are they driving in that area? Like, do you lock them or are you backing up?
Yeah.
Right.
Because they're
gotcha.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right, guys. Thank
you
very much.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Have a good night.
Stay together with Jim and I'll send him stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I think he comes Thursday, right?
Yeah, he's in
Thursday afternoon. Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon. Thank you.
Also, I'd like to point out, I try and buy there every single day to work with that. And I never want to go to the towing company until I got back to LSA.
Yeah, like I said, anybody can stop in and check it out.
It looks nice.
Don't worry.
We keep it tight. Shit up. Shit up. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice evening. We'll see you hopefully in the
20th.
We'll see you in the 20th.
All right.
Or maybe.
Maybe if your wife doesn't tell you.
I am so glad.
Why would you not bring that up?
She only has one birthday a year because I didn't realize it until I said February 20th. And I'm waiting for somebody, because as a chairman, I can't make a motion. I'm waiting for somebody to take pity on me and propose a different date.
Celebrate on Monday.
I could say, you know, I love you so much, I'm going to celebrate your birthday day early. Because I just can't put
it. My birthday is the 19th. I'll train with her. And I'll come here on her birthday, and she can celebrate on my birthday.
I am dead. So anyways, the board, do you have anything else?
Did Chris need us for anything?
Pardon?
Did you need us for anything?
John, could you ask the question? They have to have that because they work on vehicles.
Yes,
that's why they have to have that. These guys do not.
I know, but that's why they're the department will make sure they have to file standards. That's why they're allowed to operate a body shop and a motor vehicle repair store.
Yeah.
Or the dealer, they have different licenses, and the department of motor vehicles regulates it.
Yeah.
They're regulated.
All right, well, you're nothing more from the board.
Actually, John, I got one here. I was just out of curiosity. We had some lost recordings in the not so recent past, and we had approved dual recording methods. I'm just curious if that's in place. And
I think we are, because we've got two here tonight.
Great.
So with that in mind, I've been trying not to do this publicly, but I've been asking the staff to please try to get all of our minutes gathered together, transcribed, and for us to approve, because we're in a position at the moment where we only have four members from a lot of those meetings available, and if for some reason we can't get all four of us at one meeting to approve them, or one of you was absent for a meeting, we no longer have a majority to vote and approve minutes. So it's been a little bit of a situation, and I'm hoping we can get it rectified quickly and get them caught up so while it's still fresh in our mind to some degree. So
the other problem is that the backlog now is a year.
Yeah, I noticed that we've got January 2023 was the last approved, so I realized that, and that was something that I've been, I think, for a few months trying to get attention to. So hopefully that will, they'll free up some time and we'll see that.
Yeah, it might take additional resources for the clerk's office, is my thinking, that we can't just put one person on trying to not only do the current minutes, but a year's worth.
So
that gets crazy.
The position that we're in is simply that that's not our purview. We can make requests. All right, we don't handle personnel pay or anything like that. So we can make requests, and I've been
that
making
would be a suggestion on my part.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm just saying. I've been making those suggestions. So with that said, do you guys have any questions or any things you want to say before we close the meeting? It's historical in this planning board that we ask for a motion to close the meeting, even though I don't need to. So I will ask for a motion.
Oh, I forgot.
What?
Tell them our meetings are over by 10 o'clock.
So Mike turns into a pumpkin at 10 o'clock.
I've been waiting to see that.
And just for the record, Mike literally will get up at 10:01 and walk out the door. You think, oh, Mike's going to the bathroom. He never comes back. So especially if we have only four members here and we barely have a quorum, if Mike gets up and leaves, the meeting is over. Because the quorum is gone.
That's right.
I do try to keep the meetings progressing so that we can all get home, because you know we don't do this for just drills and chills. All right. So that is my effort. I know that the town board is looking for a permanent chairman as we speak, which I highly commend them for doing. I can go back to being a member instead of a chairman. With that said, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on whether we should adjourn for the evening?
No.
Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Can the clerk turn in our vouchers for us?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Looks like.